prophesy, dance. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. I'm reading the New King James Version. I want to talk to you this morning briefly about just reminding you about the supernatural power of God in the last days. And maybe contrasting that with the deception that goes on in the world. You know, Paul, everywhere Paul went, if you read the letters written to the church, if you read, you know, the epistles, you'll see that everywhere Paul went as an apostle, he went by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he demonstrated God's power, not only in signs and wonders, but also in word, in the powerful preaching that he did. And it touched the lives of people. It really stirred the people's hearts. You know, when someone is speaking by the Spirit, there's something on the inside of you that tells you this is the truth. It's pure, it's weighty in the word, and it stirs your heart. And here we see Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, and he started this church, and this church had a lot of trouble, much like lots of churches today, and this church had a lot of carnality, and this church was situated in a place where everyone met in that particular area. It was at Corinth, of course. It was kind of like a New York, where everybody came and brought their business and brought their whatever they brought there, and this kind of stuff spreads around. And so Paul went there, and he was able to bring the word of God and start a church. And of course, you know, starting a church, you have to get out all the junk that's in people's lives by giving them the word of God. And so here Paul is talking, and I think I'm going to take it right down to verse 4 and 5 says, "My speech and my preaching were not what persuasive words of human wisdom." You know, people can dazzle you with their intelligence and their education. But if you understand the Spirit, you'll know the difference between what the anointed word is. And he said, "But in demonstration, my speech and preaching was in demonstration." There's a demonstration of God's power as men and women go out in the Spirit and preach the word of God. He said a demonstration in two areas. Number one, in spirit. Number two, in power. So the power that he talks about in that verse of Scripture is really the power of the manifestation of the Spirit, and that is the power gifts. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the power of the miracles, healings, and you know, signs and wonders, the power gifts that he mentions. That's what he's talking about there. He said, "When I went out, I was preaching in the power of the Spirit. It demonstrated to people that he was from God." And then over here, he says demonstration of spirit. Now he's talking about there, the demonstration of spirit is the way and the manner in which someone preaches. You know, when someone preaches with the demonstration of the Spirit, there's what we call, you know, he will speak with authority in the area of, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirit. Discerning of spirit comes when we preach the word of God, and it really speaks to the hearts of the people, and the man of God can actually pick up in the spiritual realm as the Spirit leads him to speak on the area, sometimes touch on the area where people are really need to hear God. And you might be sitting in the audience or in that service, and you're sitting there saying, "Hey, you know, this is what I need. I need clarity on this. I need some encouragement in this area." And so by the Holy Ghost, the Lord will work through man or woman standing in the office and begin to minister the things that the people need in their heart. So people know, hey, This is God speaking to me. How would they ever know? One time I was having a hard time as a young Christian, and I was invited to go to a brunch meeting on a Saturday, I believe it was. And we went to the Prince Arthur Hotel, and we were having some breakfast there. And a man from Huntley Street came. He was one of the hosts at that time at the Huntley Street, and I'm sitting there. He said, "Let's go ahead and pray. Let's go ahead and give thanks over our food. Let's bless the food." So he bowed our heads, and he pointed at me. And he spoke a word of knowledge to me. He said, "You're having this trouble. And you're with this person. And you have this question about this," and so on, and began to tell me. And I, as I sat there saying, "Well, how does he know? Did my friend tell him about me?" But it was a demonstration of the Spirit that God was speaking. And, I was amazed. I was absolutely amazed how this could happen because I had this in my heart. You know, God can give you a word about something, about your future. And I hope he does this morning. And I believe in my whole heart, I believe this is going to happen more and more as we see a demonstration of the power of God, that God will speak a word to you and change your life and change the direction of your life in these last days. And we ought to be careful, though, with those things, because you need to know the Spirit and you need to know the Word of God more clearly. Can you say amen today? Amen? So here, he's saying that when I came to you, I just didn't come on my own power. I didn't come with my education. You know, Paul was very educated. You know, he had equivalent to a PhD in religious studies and doctrine. But he said, when I spoke to you, I didn't speak about those things. I came to you with the power of God, with the message of faith that I was given by Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus appeared to Paul on the way to Damascus and told him who he was. "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting." And it was God intervened in a life, in this man's life, to change his direction. He was persecuting the church, and Paul changed that direction, or at least God changed the direction of Paul as he was hurting the church. How many people know that God can change a direction of the enemy that's hitting the church? He can change the direction. It's not impossible, and this was a very impossible situation, and God had to intervene in a world-changing situation that changed the life that affects us today. Verse 5 says, notice this, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, God wanted these people there at Corinth, and yet they had different powers there. They had different demonstrations there of different things that was going on. And God had to send this man, Paul, there to start this church in a measure of demonstration of power. No, he said he came in a demonstration of the power of God. And so this is what we need today, to have a demonstration of the power of God in our churches, in our lives, in every single one of us. And I'm just reminded, you know, the man that told me yesterday that you were mentoring him, he said, "You know that Nathan, man, he's got a powerful word. He speaks by the Spirit, and he told me things in my heart that changed my life." And so I believe you're doing the things that God wants you to do. And better start prophesying. But so we need to begin to see that. Now, when I want to, you know, it says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. See, God wants us to have faith in the demonstration of power because it's from God. And so we ought to know the difference between when someone's speaking by the Spirit of God and when someone is speaking by, you know, another spirit. You and I will know that. Because when you're taught, if you're taught properly, you will not be deceived. You're not going to be afraid. You're not going to be intimidated. You're not going to just run with the crowd. You're going to stand strong in the Word of God. And you say, I know, by the power of God, I know where my faith stands. And I'm not confused. And I'm not running with any bunch. I'm just staying with the Spirit of God. And I'm held with the foundation of God's power. Can you say amen? Praise God. Because God's not going to let you get defeated. He's not going to let you fall by the wayside. I mean, we're protected in the things of God. If we are truly followers of God and we follow the Word of God and study God's Word, you will not be deceived. So, a little further introduction. It's going to be crucial in these last days to know our Bibles and to recognize the real from the unreal, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Antichrist. We're going to have to plant the Word of God into our hearts so deep that nothing will shake us. We're going to have to know the Spirit of God when He talks to us. And when the Spirit of God talks to you in your spirit, you will not have to ask someone, is that God's Spirit? You're going to know what if God's Spirit is talking to you. And many people are being, God is talking to them and sometimes, but they're asleep. They're not listening to the Spirit of God. They're listening to something else that somebody else was saying. You know, you can tell, you know, Brother Hagin taught us this. He said, you know, if you understand, I'll be teaching this course next week, on Spiritology. And to understand the difference between the spirit and the soul and the body. These three parts of our being begin to talk to us. Your body talks to you all the time, tells you, I'm hungry, I'm tired, I'm cold, I'm bored. how many of you grew up on Sesame Street? Huh? Okay, so, I mean, every few seconds it changes a scene, right? How many of you love Grover? That's one of my favorite guys, Grover. He's got those big shoes. Runs it on. Oh, yeah. You know, goes and gets something there and I love Grover. And there's a little red guy, fella. I forget his name. Elmo. I love Elmo. How many of you love Elmo? Yeah? Little red guy, you know. They had all these characters on there, just like real people. In fact, I even saw an Elmo here once. You know, yesterday I was just messing with I always try to mess with the, you know, when I pick up my food there or just go and get a coffee. So me and Pastor Ken, me and Pastor Steve always have this little old lady. Said, hello there, how are you? And one day I came in there over here, and no one was here. I came in about 4 o'clock in the afternoon and just come back, you know, and Varian had come in there about, I don't know, maybe 10 after 4 or something. I came a little just minutes after, and he's in his office over here at Spirit Alive doing his recording. So I came in. I said, hello. And he said, yeah, who is it? I said, yeah, I got a meeting with Pastor Roma. Oh, he just left. So I went on and on and on, tricked him, you know, he got really scared. But yesterday when I was driving over to Tim Hortons, I pulled a fast one on this one woman. So anyway, it was very funny, hilarious. At least to me, because you know I'm the one that's lying. They're probably watching me all along, on their cameras, you know. But I like to play jokes like that once in a while. I had a friend when we were at college, we just lived over here in Monroe Apartments when we were in the 80s, you know. We lived together and we'd hide on each other. He'd come home at 11:30 at night, and he'd be hiding in the closet, broom closet, and he'd go ah. I mean, it was fun living with him, but it also, it's irritating. He's under your bed. And we were just beginning our spirituality back then. We didn't, you know, we're just kind of like what they call back then the macho men. And you don't want anybody to know that you pray at night. And we were practicing, first of all, the 12 steps of AA because we want to stay sober. So we would just get on our knees and start praying. at night. Just kneel down. So if you heard your friend coming, you just jump back in bed because you don't want him to know you're praying. But that's the way we were back then. So anyway, we needed some humility. Back to reality. We're going to have to plant the seed of God into our hearts. And understand that when the Spirit of God is moving. And Brother Hagin used to say this, some people wouldn't recognize the Holy Spirit if you walked in with a red hat and cowboy boots down the aisle. So some people don't understand if Holy Spirit is moving. And we ought to know when the Spirit of God is moving. And so it's going to be crucial in these days to know there's going to be lots of deception going on. Lots of deceivers. And some people themselves won't understand that they've been deceived. That's how deception works. That you don't know somebody lied to you. And the only way to know that is to know the Word. Know the Spirit. Know the Scripture. So we need to know the Spirit and the Word and not be deceived. Signs and wonders will occur from men and women of God who operate in these occultic spirits from the Antichrist. We need to tell from the real and the unreal. Deception looks real. Poison looks real, or you can take something that's poisonous and have it, but because you don't tell us there's something in it that's going to eventually hurt you. I heard some people take poison for a long, long time. I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard stories. And because I watched, Dateline. 24 hours. 48 hours, they call it. I guess 24 hours. But anyway. So people who are undeveloped in spiritual things will be lied to. Well, here Paul speaks of power. Demonstration of spirit and power. In Acts chapter 6, verse 10, the New King James Version says, there's a man by the name of Stephen that he demonstrated power, signs and wonders. And the Bible says that they were not able to resist the wisdom. Acts chapter 6, verse 10, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. In other words, they were such, speaking by the Spirit of God that these things, by the power of God, they were not the people there who opposed him were not able to resist that. So when we speak by the wisdom of God, people will not be able to oppose us because we're standing in the power and demonstration of God. I mean, all of us. We need to know that. Now, why am I talking this way? Because I want us to be informed. I want you to be informed. I want all of us to not be afraid. You know, if you're afraid, then there's something wrong. I'm not afraid. And you know what? When I was a young child in the Lord, I didn't understand different things, so I didn't know. So I made it my business to study the Bible. And understand the Spirit, and understand what the Spirit of God is saying. The Lord Himself, Jesus Himself, spoke with power, that kind of power when He was here. Because Luke 4 and 18 said, He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Then He began to demonstrate. Over here in Luke chapter 4, 31, 32, the Amplified Classical Division, it says, and He descended from Capernaum, a town of Galilee. There He continued to teach the people on the Sabbath days. How many people know that, people are looking for the spectacular, they say, right? And they miss the supernatural. They're always looking for some kind of outward sign about something, but they don't recognize when a man of God is standing there that this man is speaking with demonstration of power. They don't recognize because they're not in touch with their own spirit. And so, as I mentioned to you, that I'll be teaching about the spirit, soul, and body, because people sometimes misunderstand that the soul and the spirit are one of the same. It's not. The Bible divides it. And if you could tell the difference between the soul and the spirit, you're able to walk by faith a whole lot better than someone who doesn't. The soul. The soul is different. You need to renew your soul. Your spirit got born again. It was renewed once. And it received righteousness. It received the Spirit of God in it and faith in it and love in it. But your soul, you continue to work with it. You continue to harness your soul and bring it into subjection along with your body. So he said over here that he taught the people on the Sabbath days. Verse 32, and they were amazed at his teaching. Why? For his word was with authority and ability and weight and power. He spoke with such authority and such power that people began to recognize this is just not natural words. This is something else. The power of God is so real that it says amen on the inside of them. God's spirit is at work. So some folks don't recognize when someone's speaking. I could be speaking prophetically, and I don't have to say, right now I'm speaking prophetically. Somebody over here needs to hear this. No, I just go ahead and speak it because somebody else is going to pick it up and they say, hey, yeah, I got something this morning. What did you get? Well, they got something. And God corrected them. If you come to church regularly, you don't ever have to come to my office and get correction. Right? And then you're corrected under the power, inspiration of the Spirit. And I slapped you on all Sunday morning, spiritually speaking, and you loved it all along. It's good to be corrected by God, but there's sometimes you need to say something strong, right? Now, tough days are upon us. Now, it's hard to know who's speaking sometimes because it seems so real. And so, you know, if you watch everything, and you take on everything everybody tells you, you'll be just running here and there. And so many good people are being taken in. People can't defend themselves against deception. Some people are accepting lies and they're following the crowd. And, you know, what happened to the people who followed the crowd in Numbers 13? They all went into the wilderness for 40 days. The whole crowd, the whole nation followed along. And of course, they affected the whole people, but two people had the truth. They said, we can overtake this thing. The rest of the folks said, we couldn't do it. This is too big for us. And yet God just took them out of, under the power of Pharaoh and Egypt with power, and yet they still wouldn't want to go back there. They said, we want to go back. So we need to stand on the Word of God. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1-5, verses 8 and verses 11 and 12, 11 and 13. I'm reading the King James Version. Know that in the last days, everybody say last days, perilous times shall come. You know the word perilous times, of course, it talks about dangerous times, hard times, stressful times. That word is translated in different ways and in different translations. Perilous times. Well, if you think about peril, if you're in a perilous situation, it's not a nice situation. How many people know this is God speaking to you and me? Here's what Brother Hagin used to tell us all the time. Say this, everybody. Say the Bible is God speaking to me. Point to your neighbor. Say the Bible. Is God speaking to you? He used to tell us that all the time, you know, because the Bible is God speaking to us. Some people say, I need a word. Well, go to your Bible, read the word. And so there's always something in there that's going to talk to you. And sometimes God will lead you to read some things that you need to hear. So know this. God wants you to know this morning, that perilous times will come, or we're walking in this time. So this is written a long, long time ago. How many people They say in other version, in other places, like Peter says, people are going to laugh at that and say, you know, hey, why didn't it happen now? It's been a long time since the apostles gone. Jesus gone a long time. And, you know, we're waiting around for nothing. That's what they're saying. But don't be deceived, he says. One day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like so on. It doesn't matter. Time doesn't matter. If you were to go out in the Spirit right now, and if you went out in the Spirit for 10 days, you come back, you wouldn't even know any difference. I've been out in the Spirit. Time stood still. I went out in the trance as the Spirit of God came upon me. I've been there in the trance. And it seemed like nothing ever happened. I mean, everything disappeared. The world disappeared. Everything stopped. I went out into the spiritual realm. God began to minister to me. I come back. It's like nothing ever happened. Nobody knew I went, including myself. It's like nothing happened. But here, by the Spirit of God, it's saying in these last days, people say, last days, that's been happening over 2,000 years ago. But listen, time is nothing. I remember hearing stories. The man of God said, you know, Jesus took him out and showed him, we're at the very last time, he showed the curtain, very last time, there's a very thin line where he's coming soon. I was listening to Jesse of the Planets' testimony. He's talking about testimony. He said, I don't talk about this very much because this is so sacred. So the Lord took him out into the Spirit and he said, I saw an angel. The angel said, the Lord, God wants to give you a message. So he took him to heaven. He said, I went to heaven, I saw people, it's really busy in heaven. He says, it's like a mall there. If you like malls, you're going to go to heaven. It's going to be a great time there. But people are busy. He said, you meet people there? I mean, right now, people don't even believe what I'm saying. This is true. I've known people who've gone to heaven, family, and close friends who've gone there. Heaven is real. Paul is not the only one who went to heaven, according to 2 Corinthians 13, I think it is, over there, or 11. He went up to heaven, or 12. Went up to heaven. He said, you can't even describe when you go there how to tell people what you saw. You know, he said he went to heaven and he said the angel took him around different places. He talked to different ones. And then he saw the Lord. I'm just cutting the story short. And he said, the Lord said to him, okay, what do you want to tell me? Tell my people I'm coming soon. He said, yeah, they already know that. He said, they don't know that. Tell them I'm coming soon. And he said, he came right back to earth. He said, I thought he was going to give me this big revelation that's something that nobody else knows. But he said, tell people I'm coming soon. I've heard that so many times that men of God who've had the message from Jesus, that he said, tell people I'm coming soon. So the time is short. Some people's even shorter. That Jesus said, there's some people that standing here, when I come back, they're going to still be here. There's some people will never die. Physically, this is going to go right up to heaven. That might be you. That might be you. Grace, you'll never see death. Amen. In fact, you know, if you would have died, you wouldn't even tell you died. I know some people said, I died, and I saw myself there, but I didn't even, I didn't feel like anything. Just died. That in the last times, perilous times will come. Look at this. Here's some signs. I'm going to read this, and there's a number of things that are signs, but I want to pick up something here that's related to what we're discussing this morning. For men shall be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving. You see a lot of unloving going on? Or everybody's loving each other? Eh? Even in the church sometimes, the love will wax worse. Unforgiving. Is there a lot of forgiving going on or unforgiving? I'm going to tell you something. I forgive, but I'll never forget. That's going on, eh? Pastor Ken, I'm going to forgive you, but let me tell you, I'll never forget. What about this? Slander. I mean, we've been all involved in it. We've done it ourselves. Thinking, I've never done that. Just follow the Spirit. Go ahead and start slandering everybody on your Facebook. It's happening every day. Slandering everybody. People driving around with cars, placards saying, PMF this to the PM. I mean, that's lots of bad stuff going on. I mean, you might not like me, but this is it. So without self-control, people said, I couldn't control myself. I had to. This guy, I saw this thing here. He killed a kid, a young kid, his boyfriend, his girlfriend's baby, and babysitting. But he said, I couldn't help it. He can help it. He's under another spirit. What you allow in your life can affect you greatly. Without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Verse 5 says, notice this. That's why I want to talk about these. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. In other words, they're acting so religious, but there's no power in their walk. There's no demonstration of power. From such people, turn away. That's by the Spirit of God. You turn away from these people. Run from them. He's talking about the power of God here. Now watch this. Verse 8. Now as Janes and Jambres. I don't know if that's the way you say it. I'm not sure what the correct translation is. Janes and Jambres. That sounds like, you know, Hall and Oates. You know, those singers. Okay, so these guys resisted Moses. Now, Paul is using Janes and Jambres and Moses and using them as an example for right now. They resisted Moses, a man of God who had such demonstration, who had such prophetic anointing on his life. They resisted a man of God like that with such demonstration. And do these resist the truth? Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. And yes, all who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So don't think you're going to get away with it, hiding in your little old house. you gotta, people say, I mean, there's such pressure on people today, to stand out, do outstanding, and they'll tell you, you got to tell the truth, you got to do this and that, and they'll try to push you to the limit where you have to want to make you say things. I was watching yesterday, a reporter, they want to know about the Russian hockey players, they want to pressure them to make a stand against Putin. You all know who Putin is? Putin? It's some kind of a bread. No, I'm just kidding. So that's, we talk about Putin back in our in the native tongue. We ate Putin this morning. That's true. So anyway, they're trying to make him say things right there because he's not going to say bad things against Putin. He's got family over there. He's not that dumb. But he just said, he just remained neutral. We don't like war and so on. So here, we have to understand some things and be wise in some area. So we'll suffer persecution. Verse 13, notice this. But evil men and imposters. Everybody say imposters. So that's, imposters are like people who appear to be like genuine people with a message or a certain kind of, whatever, from God or the right way to do things. They're going to be there. And they will grow worse and worse. Not just going to be, it's going to go worse. Like, how many of you don't understand when I say worse and worse? I said to you two years ago, and I've been saying this for a while, I said, listen, this society, it ain't going to get better. You go back to all my teaching, and I'll tell you this. I said, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse. The world ain't going to get better. And so we need to smarten up and start living right and understanding the power of God and be kept by God's power. And we're not going to be swept away by fear and deception. Deceiving and being deceived. Not only they've been deceived, but they'll go further and deeper into their deception. So the rise of deceivers. Okay, Jesus said here to the religious folks in John 8:44, New King James Bible, you're of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you will want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. For when he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources, for he's a liar and a father of lies. And Jesus was speaking to religious folks who misled people. They opposed Jesus and rejected him, rejected what he was saying, and even told lies about Jesus. Imagine lying about Jesus himself. And they say that Jesus, he has a devil. And they opposed him. They rejected him. They rejected the truth. Now, something about Jannes and Jambres. Remember we talked about those two guys? Paul uses these two individuals as an example, excuse me, of in his discussion about regarding the last days. He said they rejected Moses and did some incredible things. Even Moses, who did some incredible things that could not be rejected as the truth, as he performed many supernatural acts of God on his behalf for the people of God. At that time, in Moses' day, there were many magicians in Egypt who could duplicate seemingly some things that God did, but eventually they were found out they couldn't duplicate everything that was going on. Say, you know, when God told Moses, put your staff down and turn to a snake. And they did the same thing. They put down their staff and then turned to a snake. But Moses, the snake, swallowed up those other snakes or those staffs. Demonstrated the real power. So they opposed Moses and delivered the Israelites from bondage. So God will use, you know, in demonstration of the power, he's going to use the church in more of a demonstrative manner in the last days, as has been prophesied and as the Word of God says. Bible does not give much information about these two guys, Jannes and Jambres. In fact, the names of these two men appear only once in the entire Bible, 2 Timothy over here, 3:8. In the passage describing the wickedness in the last days, Paul says, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also the men who oppose the truth, men of deprived minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. They will not get far because in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone, verse 8 and 9. There's a long-standing Jewish tradition says that Jannes and Jambres were two chief magicians who withstood Moses and Aaron in Exodus chapter 7. It says, Aaron threw down his staff in front of the Pharaoh and his officials because it became a snake. And Pharaoh then summoned his wise men, and the sorcerers and the Egyptian magicians also did the same things by their secret arts. Each one threw his staff and it became a snake, but Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Verse 10 and then 12. Later, these same sorcerers duplicated the changing of the waters in Exodus chapter 7, verse 22, and the production of frogs in verse 8, 7. However, those sorcerers were powerless to duplicate other plagues, verses 18 to 19. It says that these men, some writer says that these two men, these two servants, were men who served Balaam. over in Numbers chapter 22, that these two servants who were helping Balaam were these same guys. In one situation, it says, according to another source. They continued to exert wicked influence on Israel until the time that time of Phinehas in Numbers 25. These stories are interesting, but they should not be taken as equivalent as inspired scriptures. You know, this is stuff that's been related to us, but it's not scripture. But it's interesting to know that there's some information, like history reports something. It's not scripture, but there's writings on different things. So Paul confirms that, you know, why does he mention these people? Paul confirms that the traditional names of the sources who challenged Moses without lending credence to legends found in these other works. His attention was to use the wickedness of Jannes and Jambres as presented in the Torah as illustrations of widespread active rejection of truth in the last days. Now, you know, we have to see these things in Scripture. What does the Lord say about the last days? Jesus had some things to say about the last days. It seems like deception will be something very prevalent. Lots of lying going on around the world. It seems so true that it's, you know, people get pulled in. False prophets who deceive, and false signs and wonders like Jannes and Jambres did that Paul speaks about. Many will be deceived, even some of God's people. Let's read what the Lord said in the last days. Some of the signs that he talked about. This was meant for the Jewish people in that day. He was talking to them, but this also applies to us in certain situations. Like, you know, when you're reading the Gospels, you're reading that Jesus is talking to the Jews, and a lot of the things that apply to the Jews apply to them. It doesn't apply to the church. So sometimes people get mixed up with that. They don't understand those things. So they never studied the Bible, so they don't know that what is written to the Jewish people is not meant for the church. It has some application and illustration, but it's not talking to us. And I understand, you understand this. Simple interpretation is, who's talking? Who's he talking to? What are they talking about? So it doesn't always apply to every person. So sometimes people try to make what is said to the Jews apply to the church, and it gets confusing at times. So over here, Jesus is talking in Matthew 24, verses 3 to 14. I'm reading King James, New King James Version. Now as he sat in the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Verse 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." He's talking about deception. He's talking to his people, you know, his... Take note that no one deceives you. So you must know the truth so well that you know for a fact you cannot be duped. You say, "Hey, that sounds like truth, but I know something a little bit more about that. This is not true." I believe that's why we have a Bible school here. Tell people to understand the Word. We spend time on the Word. Stay in the Word of God. When you stay in the Word of God, it stabilizes you. You're not afraid. I don't care what's going on. You say, "I'm stable. I'm not afraid. God's not going to let me." Why would God turn me over to the devil? He's not. He never will. So, verse 5, "Many will come in my name saying, 'I am Christ,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars." That's applicable today. Always somebody's gonna, there's wars going on all the time. I woke up to a news this morning that Russia and Ukraine are meeting at the border of Belarus. I'm not sure what's happening, but there's stuff going on there. Who's gonna do much lying? Who's gonna lie some more? "See that you're not troubled. When you see wars, see that you're not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Verse 7. "For nation will rise against nation." I understand this. Someone said in interpretation, it says even ethnics, Nations is sometimes translated ethnics against ethnics. Like race against race is happening. That's what he's talking about. One race is against another race. That's what he's talking about. And so nation against nation, you see that? Countries against each other. There'll be famines. Is there any famines going on lately, the last few, 5, 10 years? Has there been any pestilence? Viruses? That's what he's talking about. Earthquakes any places? Yeah. Well, that's applicable. Sound like today, doesn't it? All these are the beginning of sorrows. No, this is not the end, but it's the beginning. So if it's the beginning, it means it's going to be worse and more stuff is happening. But he said, but wait, don't be deceived. He's trying to straighten you up. He's trying to strengthen you so that you're not going to be afraid of this. I believe when the worst comes to worst, we're out of here. Like people like to believe, well, we're going to go through the tribulation and the devil's going to do this to you. No, I believe Jesus is going to take you. Take you away. Take you to heaven. Protect you. And then they will deliver you up to tribulation to kill you, and you will be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And many will be offended and betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets. Well, if there's false prophets, there's real prophets. Will rise and deceive many. Here's the word deceive again. But lawlessness will abound. How many people know that there's everything is like, everything's okay. Lawlessness. And so will abound. The love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And the end will come. So this gospel must be preached to all nations. So we're going to do our part. We're going to do our part. And, preach the gospel. We're doing it on television. We're doing it across Canada. People are hearing the gospel. Jesus saves. We need to get born again. And I know people argue with it, and I don't argue with them. I don't even try saying anything. I hear this all the time. And just witnessing people discuss things, and they're fighting against each other. And I was talking to a friend of mine because I was trying to get him back into church. And I called him. He's in Kenora, Ontario. Because I had to do some business with him. I said, hey, listen, I need some information from you, but I want to ask you something. Why are you not working with this pastor like you were working before? He said, no, I don't want to work with him anymore. He began to explain to me why he wasn't working. I said, you got to get rid of your resentment and start walking in love. And, everybody has, we got different men of God have weaknesses, and you have to understand that. If you're working close with somebody, understand he's human. He can make mistakes. But he's a good man. He's doing a lot of things there, working in the church and helping the poor people on the street. He said, he don't believe like I do. He said something derogatory about my First Nations folks that affected me, and so he's out now. He doesn't want to fight. He doesn't want to, he disagreed with him. I said, well, maybe he needs to learn how to speak properly. Maybe he needs some sensitivity training and give him a chance. Oh no, he won't do it. I don't want anything to do with him. So here, people are there's deception going on. So but here's something Paul said over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 13 to 15. For such false apostles and deceitful workers. If there's false apostles, there must be true apostles. Deceitful workers, if there are deceitful workers, there must be truthful workers. There must be people who are doing things in the truth, in truth. Notice this, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing that if his ministers be also transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. See, we need to recognize these kind of things in these last days. Hey, no sense in being afraid. Thank God for the truth. You know, you have to recognize things. Don't always run with everybody. That's seemingly, you know. You know on the inside, there's something not right about this. It looks good. There's something, I'm just getting on the inside of me. This is not right. It sounds good, all right. You know? But each one of us has our own faith. Each one of us has the Spirit of God in us. We know the difference. You know the difference. Could be your very good friends sometimes that are doing different things. You have to stick with the Word. You don't have to be against them. Just don't fight about it. Stay with the Word. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit. So in John 16 and 13 says that the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. He'll tell you the truth about everything. About everything. He said the Spirit of truth will tell you things about everything. Everything that you need to know. If you pay attention to Him, walk with Him, get as close as you can and understand what He's saying to you. Beloved, he says over here, 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirit whether it be of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. Every one of us has a Bible. Verse 2, but you know the Spirit of God, so we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is already in the world. Verse 4. Okay, so about this time, verse 3, everybody going, ooh. You know? There's the spirit of Antichrist. We got to watch it. We got to be afraid. He could be anywhere around your house, your neighborhood, coming soon to your neighborhood. And then you start trembling. It's no use to get trembling. You have power over them. So it tells us that we've overcome, that Jesus already defeated those ones. Colossians 3, I believe is verse 14, 15, that he said, he paralyzed them, he defeated them, reduced them to nothing concerning the church. And he likes to, if you don't know the word, he likes to come and tell you how strong he is and how he's going to defeat you. I mean, he tells you that all the time. I know he does for me. And he'd try to put fear on you. I said, hey, listen, I'm not going to be afraid. I talk to him out loud. If you want the devil to hang around your house, just don't talk to him. He'll stick around as long as you put up with him. He'll tell you, listen what somebody, who said this. I said, I'll tell you what, who said what. Here's what the Bible says. You're defeated. And I have authority over you. And you must leave this house right now. That's how you have to treat them. Don't say, oh, poor devil, listen. Come on here, let's eat some cereal together. We'll talk this over right now. Let's kind of compromise a little bit. Don't bother me, I won't bother you. No, you have to tell them. You're not having this. You're not having that. You're not having me. Or any of my stuff. I know I like to blame the devil for a lot of stuff I do. I get into different things, you know, when I shouldn't have been on that ladder. I should have watched myself and blamed the devil for it. Oh, the devil threw me off. No, you got to be very careful. Or you spent all your money and you said, the devil made me spend all my money. No, you're the devil. You've been spending all that money. So verse 4, look at this. You are of God. What don't you understand that you're of God? And if you're of God, you belong to God. We have a covenant with God. God says, if you have an enemy, I will be against them, because if you come against them, I'll be there for you. A covenant. Everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you. And also, listen to this. Everything belongs to you belongs to him. If you say, hey, I want your car today, give it to Roma Fisher. What? Well, he needs a car. Well, that's happened to me. I'm in my home. I got my nice car outside. The Lord said to me, I want you to give so-and-so your car. I said, he's got two cars. So I gave him my car, and I walked for a while. You know? So don't tell me that God doesn't talk to you. If he told you to give me your car, no, this is a messing with you. But listen, if God told you to do something, you ought to do it. You say, oh, I don't know. The devil's trying to get me to give my car away. No, he'll tell you. He's not going to tell you to give your old socks away. He'll tell you something nice, right? He's got something better for you. It's funny, you know, I don't know. Let's finish with this. You are of God, little children, and overcome them. Everybody say, I'm a child of God. Say, I am an overcomer. Say, greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. Now, he's talking about the Antichrist and all his demons and all his spirit. You have the greater one living inside you. Let's go ahead and stand up as we close. Father, we want to thank you this morning that we're not going to be caught up in deception against false prophets, deceivers. We're not going to just follow signs and wonders. We're going to follow the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit, for your Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Now, the Spirit of God wants to speak to someone here. Hallelujah. I woke up this morning, the Lord said to me, there's deception going on. And I could not get rid of it. I could not get away with it. There's some folks in this room right now, you've been deceived. You've been deceived. And there's some things that's going on in some people's lives right now this morning that you need to stop doing right now by the Spirit of God. God spoke that this morning. And he wants you to change. Make a change. So when the time comes, you will not be deceived. Come. Come out of the darkness. Walk in the Spirit and in the light. And more light shall shine on you, says the Spirit of God. And you'll be bold. You'll be strong. You will not be weak. But you see clearly, as brighter than the noonday sun, far and far away, you'll see when the enemy is coming for you. You'll know exactly what to do. You'll be prepared, because my Spirit has been teaching you all this time. Okay, you missed it one time, maybe two, three times. But that's not the time to give up and walk away from the things that God has shown you. Begin to practice into what my principles are saying. Begin to walk by the Spirit of God on the inside of you, that peace on the inside of you, that joy. Follow that joy. Follow that peace. And you'll never be deceived. And you'll stand up to the devil and say, no, devil, you will not take authority in my house. You'll not take authority over my body. You'll not take authority over those in those circumstances or situations you brought and caused in my life. I'm taking authority right now in the name of Jesus. And you're going to walk according to the plan and purposes of God that God has given. I speak this and I prophesy this over my own life, that God, the greater one, is working inside of me right now. He's working in me to will and to do his good pleasure. He's working in me right now and preparing me right now for those things that need to be answered. And Lord, I want to thank you, Father, for those folks that make that adjustment on the inside of them. some that are watching online, some that are here, that you spoke to them. You are doing a wonderful work in their lives. We give you praise. We give you thanks for what you're doing. That situation that's been bugging you for a long time, if you'll just go ahead and make that move, you'll begin to witness and know that problem has been resolved. That situation is not there anymore. It'll be cause for joy and jubilation as you begin to wonder what happened to that situation. But God says, by my Spirit, I've cleared it out. By my Spirit, I have done it. And the joy shall return in serving Him. That delight in prayer will come back. That anticipation of God moving in your midst, in your life, will come back. As you begin to see, I clearly walked in darkness here. I didn't really understand, didn't know it, but hey, the light's shining brighter and brighter. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your wonderful power. For you are good and your mercy endures. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hand and begin to thank God right now. Father, I give you praise for the power of the Spirit of God right now moving in our midst, changing lives, bringing the truth and revelation of God. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may you break every deception, every word spoken from the past, shed the light on it in the name of Jesus, so nothing will go uncovered or remain in darkness. Clear as day. Thank you, Lord. Yes, someone is being healed right now in the name of Jesus. That healing's already started. And the power of God, the demonstration of the power of God in the name of Jesus. I just sense the power of God all over this room right now, flowing everywhere in this room. The power of the Holy Spirit is moving, causing change, causing freedom, causing these things that have bugged you to go away. Even as the word says, the Egyptians you see today, you will not see tomorrow. Thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I give you praise. In the mighty name. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Let's give him praise. We give you praise, Lord Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit in demonstration and power. Oh, Baba Leshiti, Mandarakasata Baba Boshiti, Limina Makasanda Baba Sata Dabai.